Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Welcome you to this, our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. We do thank you for joining in for our program tonight. We trust the Lord will bless you as you hear the hymns of Zion sung and as we read the scriptures and have them preached. Let's just unite our hearts together in a short word of prayer. Our gracious, eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the opportunity again of coming into thy presence in the Savior's worthy and all precious name. We rejoice that thou art God, and beside thee there is none else. And there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And we pray thy blessing upon our broadcast tonight. We thank the Lord for the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And we praise the Lord that we can come and sing thy praise, and we can hear thy word preached. We ask, Lord, that thou would, by thy Spirit, apply the word to each and every heart tonight. O God, bless the Reverend Foster, even as he would bring thy truth, and undertake for him and each one that will listen in. Hear this, our humble prayer, for we ask it in our Savior's precious and all-worthy name. Amen. We're turning in God's Word to Psalm 29, please. A Psalm of David. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sharon like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forests. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth keen forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen. May the Lord add his own blessing upon the reading of his own inspired and infallible word. Our second item of praise is that hymn, I will never, never leave thee. I will never thee forsake.
Reverend Patterson for leading today, and may the Lord be pleased to bless us as we now come to his word in Psalm number 29. And I want to begin by asking you a question. Have you ever heard of a place called Mbonin? Mbonin. Mbonin is a place in South Africa. It's located just 1 hour from Johannesburg. And it is estimated that in Mbonin, a gold mine there, that there is 2.1 million ounces of gold. Now, to put that into our money today, that is the equivalent of 3.1 billion British pounds. Without doubt, Mbonin is a place of treasure. But of course, how do you get that treasure? You must dig, and you must dig very deep indeed. In fact, this gold mine at Mbonin, you must dig 2.5 miles below the surface of the earth in order to get this treasure, this wealth of gold. And whenever we come into Psalm number 29, the sheer reading of it no doubt brings a blessing to your hearts. But I would put it to you today that if you want to get the treasure that is found in the Psalm, then you need to dig that bit deeper. You need to take that little bit of extra time to look at the phrases, to look at the terms that are used and to compare them with the rest of Scripture. And I believe that as we do that today, that we will see a great treasure that is to be found in this psalm. Now, of course, we must look at the theme of this psalm. What is it all about? Well, I had put it to you today that the theme of this psalm is found at the end of it, in its conclusion in verse 11, whereby you and I read, "The Lord will give strength unto his people." The Lord will give strength unto his people. I ask you, do you want to be strong today? You may ask the question, well, what is strength? Well, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, strength is the ability to resist a force. For example, if you imagine someone does arm wrestling, Well, if they are strong, they are able to resist the force of the opponent. If you imagine someone who's doing a bench press, if they are strong, they're able to resist the gravitational pull of the weights. If you imagine someone is doing tug of war, if they are strong, they're able to resist the pull of the opposite team. Strength is the ability to resist an external force pulling you this way or pulling you that way. Now, I'm not asking you, do you want to be strong at arm wrestling? Or if you want to be strong in bench press? But let me ask you, do you want to be strong in your Christian life? Do you want to be able to resist the evil forces in this world that seek to pull you this way and that way away from the Lord? Do you want to be able to resist the power of the flesh in its temptations? Do you want to be able to resist the power of the world as it distracts you away from the things of God? Do you want to be able to have the strength to resist the power of Satan himself as he seeks to deceive you regarding the things of God? Do you want to be strong in the Christian life and thereby do exploits for the Lord, bringing pleasure to the Savior who loved you and gave himself for you? Let us be encouraged with the message of this psalm. In verse 11, we read, "The Lord will give strength unto his people." Of course, the question comes, well, how do we get the strength? Well, I believe the rest of the psalm tells us. Notice with me, first of all, this evening, the confession we must make. In Psalm 29, the verse 1, we read, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name." Who's being addressed in the psalm but those who refer to in verse 1 as the mighty? If you have a margin in your Bible, you'll see over verse 1 the little letters H-E-B. That is the word for Hebrew. And it's the idea here that the term for mighty is the idea of the sons of the mighty, addressing, in my opinion, the children of God. So if the children of God, if you and I today want to be strong, what must we do? We must give unto the Lord glory and strength. That is, you and I must confess that we have no strength in of ourselves. It's the Lord alone that has strength. You see, if we're to give unto the Lord glory and strength, that means that we are to ascribe to the Lord glory. That God alone is glorious. There is no glory in any part of this world outside of him. If we are to give unto the Lord strength, which is our theme tonight, and indeed today, well, then we must ascribe that the Lord alone is the one who's strong, and nowhere else in this world is strength to be found. If we are to be strong in our Christian lives, what is the first step? The first step is this, the confession we must make that we are weak, but God is strong. Let me ask you today, whenever you seek to resist the flesh, whenever you seek to resist the world, whenever you seek to resist the devil, do you try and do it yourself? Or do you make this confession, Lord, you alone are strong, and Lord, I need you. I need you. Have you ever found, no matter how hard you've tried, again and again, you cannot help but just lose your temper? No matter how hard you've tried in your own strength, again and again, you cannot help but the fact you just act selfishly. You get distracted from the Lord with the things of this world, and you doubt the very promises of God. Do you ever find yourself feeling and stumbling in your Christian life? It's because we're weak. Jesus Christ was one who spoke to his disciples. He gave them a very simple command to watch and to pray. But he knew that they would fail. He turned around and told them, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. In and of yourselves, you are weak. So if we're ever to be strong, what is the first step? It is the confession we must make. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe that he alone is strong, and we ourselves are weak. We need him. Notice with me the second step, not merely the confession we must make, but secondly, today, the Christ we must trust. After being told in verse 2 to give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, we're given another command at the end of verse 2. We're told to worship the Lord. The word for worship is the idea of bow down, to prostrate yourself before. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, what does this mean? Again, if you look in your margin, if you have one in your Bible, again, you will find that this phrase, the beauty of holiness, can be interpreted as God's glorious sanctuary. What are we being told here in the psalm? We're told to worship, to bow down ourselves, to give ourselves entirely over to the Lord, trusting Him in the place of beauty and holiness. And that place, of course, is the temple. For example, if you want to turn over a few pages to Psalm 48, Psalm 48, in the opening two verses, we read, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness." Beautiful. So here's the place of holiness. Here's the place of beauty. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king, God is known in her palaces. Or if you want to look at Isaiah chapter 64, Isaiah in the chapter 64, in the verse 11, we read a phrase regarding the temple that's found in Jerusalem. And it's described in verse 11, the beginning of it, "Our holy and our beautiful house." How do we become strong? There's a confession we must make. Lord, you alone are strong. And outside of you, there's no strength to be found, not in me. I'm weak. But then there is the Christ you must trust. You must come by faith to this temple, this place of beauty and holiness, this place where the Savior is revealed. Because as you would enter into the temple, you would have first and foremost the brazen altar, where the sacrifice, taking upon itself our sins, would be sacrificed in full. A picture of Christ who died at Calvary, giving Himself for us, taking upon Himself our sins. Of course, you have the brazen laver, a picture of Christ in all His perfection, perfectly clean. And eventually you'd find Christ, our great high priest, going into the Holy of Holies. And there you would have the mercy seat, which sits above the broken law of God, which we've all broken, let's be honest. Our lies and our jealousies and our selfishness, we've all broken God's law. There we have the mercy seat where the blood of Christ is shed, which covers us. And as God looks down from above, He sees the shed blood for us. That perfect, spotless blood which covers our sinfulness. If we're ever to be strong, we must have our sins covered. We must put our trust in the Savior whom God has given. And we must bow down, worship Him, give our all in trust and submission to the Christ at whom He has given. Who gave His life for us, who lived the perfect life for us, and then covers us with His precious blood. Let me ask you today, are you one who is right before God? Not because you've lived a perfect life, but because you've realized that you're a sinner, but you've realized that Christ has been sent to die for you, to wash all your sins away once and for all, but also that Christ has come to live a perfect life for you. So not merely can your sins be forgiven and you escape hell, but you can be seen as perfect with Christ's righteousness covering you, and therefore you can get heaven and peace with God in life and eternity. If we're ever to be strong in our Christian walk, there is first of all the confession we must make. There is secondly the Christ we must trust. But notice with me also today, thirdly, the confidence we must have. And the verses that follow, if you look with me at verse 3, we find this phrase, the voice of the Lord. It's repeated in verse 4, the voice of the Lord. Verse 5, the voice of the Lord. Verse 7, the voice of the Lord. Verse 8, the voice of the Lord. Verse 9, the voice of the Lord. In these verses, we have six times over repeated for us, the voice of the Lord. What is being referred to here? Well, if you want to turn with me, please, to Revelation, the chapter 1. The bigger Revelation, the chapter 1. In the verse 10, the Apostle John is speaking and he says, "I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Verse 12, and I turned to see the voice. To see, not to hear the voice, but to see the voice that speak with me. And in verse 13, we read that he saw one like unto the Son of Man. And what is described here is none other than Christ himself. And so as you and I will go through the rest of this psalm briefly today, as we read of the voice of the Lord, we're reading of none other than Christ himself. And Christ who will be here for us in situation after situation in life. No matter what we face, Christ is there. And we must place our confidence, our faith in him to be our all in all. In these verses 3 to 9, we have three scenes set before us. Notice with me that the first scene is one of the sea. And here you and I will find that we must place our confidence in Christ, that he is able to deliver us from trouble. In verse 3, we read the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. At the end of the verse, we read the Lord is upon many waters. Take a little break. A minute, and you take a minute to pause and imagine yourself in a small boat, a small wooden boat there in the middle of a sea. And there you see waves coming around, and you see the waves rising high, and you see the waves in their great strength, but you also see the waves crashing in upon you, and they're overwhelming you, and they're crushing you. Waves in Scripture are an illustration of trouble. In Psalm 144, in the verse 7, the psalmist said to the Lord, send thine hand from above and deliver me out of great waters. Deliver me out of trouble. In Mark chapter 4, the end of it, we read of the disciples, and there they are in the Sea of Galilee. And the waters are many, and the waters are great, and they're crashing in upon them. And they turn round and say, we perish. They are in trouble. But yet, notice with me, in the times when we are overwhelmed with trouble, notice that Christ is above the trouble. Verse 3, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The waters not overcome him, he's upon them. Notice also, not Christ is not only above the trouble, but he's over the trouble. In verse 4, we read, Christ is powerful and full of majesty. He's full of power, he's in control, even in the midst of the trouble. He's full of majesty. In his control, he's perfectly wise and glorious and beautiful in all that he does. Christ is not merely above the trouble and over the trouble, but he delivers from the trouble. In verse 3, we read, the God of glory thundereth. Thunder and the voice of God is often linked in Scripture. In Job 37, in the verse 5, we read, God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he which we cannot comprehend. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, we have the children of Israel. The Philistines have come upon them. And the children of Israel, they will be defeated. But we read that God sends a thunder, and he scatters the trouble. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, David is in trouble. The enemies are round about him, but God sends a thunder and he scatters the enemies. God delivers in trouble. And he asks you today, are you overwhelmed? Overwhelmed at troubles. They're large, they're strong, they're crashing in around you. Maybe it's responsibilities you have. Maybe it's sickness that you have or some loved one that you has. Maybe it's slander that you're receiving. Maybe it's difficulties that you're facing. But the troubles of this life are crashing in upon you. They're too great. Not only confess that you're weak. Not only make sure that you're right with God by your trust in Christ. But place your confidence in Christ. That he is upon the trouble. He's over the trouble. And he will deliver you with his mighty thunderous voice from the trouble. And say like he did the disciples, peace be still to that trouble. Notice with me that Christ also delivers not merely from trouble, but also from opposition. In verse 5, we read, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon, Syrian, like a young unicorn. And here the scene moves from the sea now to the forest. And you imagine before you a forest upon a mountain top. And you see, we have the mountains of Lebanon, the mountains of Syria, and here we have the cedar trees, which are large in their height in Scripture. They have overreaching branches, and they're durable. Whenever the fierce, strong winds come against the cedars, they stand strong. And in Isaiah chapter 2, cedars are an illustration of the proud and the lofty, those who hate God and those who hate God's people. Deuteronomy chapter 3, we read of God's people being brought out of Egypt, being brought into the promised land, the inheritance that God has given them. But here we have the mountains of Lebanon and Syria in front of them. We have two enemy Amorite kings, and they oppose and they hinder God's people from receiving the inheritance God has for them. And yet here's the comfort today. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Those that seek to resist us, such as indeed our flesh. Resist us, we read in Galatians 5, that the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. It wrestles with the Spirit, resisting that we will not receive the inheritance that God has for us. That love for God, that joy in God, that peace in God. We struggle with it. The Lord, he breaketh the cedars. And he'll even make them to skip like a calf. I had to YouTube what a calf skipping looked like. Bounces all over the place. And see, God will break those that are proud, and he'll make them roll down the side of the mountain, skipping away. Christ will also deliver from despair. The third scene is here in verse 8, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The wilderness was a place of barrenness, where there was no life, no food, no water, no future, no hope. The children of Israel being in Kadesh, they began to murmur and complain. They saw that there was no life and no hope from their perspective, and they complained against God. But notice with me in verse 9 that Christ, he delivers from despair, because the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf. He discovereth the forests. He brings life to sight where there was no life. The calf being inside the deer, the Lord brings it out. The forest where the animals and the life is in the little dens and little pots, Christ brings out the animals to be seen. He brings life out. And sometimes in life you and I may think, oh, there's no hope. No point serving God. I don't see any blessing, no life, no fruit in my service. But Christ delivers from despair. He brings it out. In verse 10, we see the Lord sitteth upon the flood. The Lord is the one who sits. He's not anxious like someone who's watching a football match, biting his nails, walking up and down, what's going to happen, what's going to happen. He sits, he's in control over all. And what do we find as we conclude? The Lord will give strength unto his people. How do you become strong? If you're overwhelmed with troubles, if you're in despair, look to Christ. Confess your weakness, he alone is strong. But also, trust in him as your Savior. And have your confidence that he will deliver. Because he loves you. He gave himself for you. Trust in Christ. And be strong in him. We'll bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, take thy word. Bless it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.